I was asking myself the question while we were singing that last song about, is Jesus enough? If we had nothing else, would Jesus be enough? And sometimes I'm wondering if it's this plus Jesus is enough. Whatever the this is, my prayer is that Jesus becomes our enough. We're okay without everything else. God, teach us to be okay without everything else. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, I am merely a flawed individual saved by your grace. And so I invite you, Father, to speak. These words are mere words, but your Spirit is powerful and holy, so I pray that your word would, what you have impressed upon my heart this week, would speak to each one of us. It would continue a process of transformation and growth in our lives. Oh, Holy Spirit, make us attentive listeners. Pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I've entitled this sermon today, Fruit Happens When You're Connected to the Vine. Sometimes as followers of Jesus, we find ourselves in a place where maybe we haven't experienced ever that lasting change to our character. Possibly we've seen changes, you know, seasons of change, but no lasting change, no real change that impacts all of our life, every area of our life, and how we live it out. You seemingly can't kick that habit, change your attitudes, or lack joy, and you may find yourself wondering if change is even possible. Is that kind of internal change really a possibility for me? With all my flaws, with all the sin in my life, with all of the different challenges that go on, you may ask yourself, will I ever become that patient person, or be kinder, get rid of that anger, be generous or humble? And perhaps you expected these changes when you surrendered your life to Christ, and possibly for a time frame there may have been some changes initially. But they were only temporary. Why is that? Well, today I want to look at John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. And again, we see Jesus here. He's pointing us to, in this passage, Jesus is speaking. And what he's doing is he's actually pointing us to the key to unlocking that transformation, that lifelong transformation that doesn't change, that is consistent in all of our lives. Let me read John chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 17 in the NASB. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear much fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command, that you love one another. This passage is full and rich, and we're not going to go through everything in there. It's so incredibly full of richness. But in this, what I want to highlight is this point that Jesus is talking about the potential for enormous change in everyone's life. Being connected to the right thing, the vine, Jesus, is the beginning of locking that potential for change, that lasting change. Abiding, remaining connected is the key to an ongoing growth. Not just the initial salvation, but ongoing. This is something that your character is continuously changing. It doesn't matter how old you are. We have people here that are in their 90s, and God is continually transforming their lives to be more and more like Him. We never stop growing. And because the result of that abiding, remaining in the vine, is that you will bear much fruit. You will. Not you might, you can, you may, you, Jesus is saying, you will bear much fruit. In the Bible, when the Bible talks about, Scripture talks about fruit, it often has to do with one's character. And one of the lists of the characters of a believer is found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the characteristics of the follower of Jesus. And it is not static. We don't attain to achieve a level and it remains there. But we continually grow in love, joy, peace, patience as we get to know who Jesus is, and He continually transforms our lives. And perhaps when you're here and you don't believe that kind of change is possible. You don't believe in that lasting change. And it could be from past failures. Could be that some people are just very pessimistic. But however, when Jesus says, I am the true vine, He is saying, I am the key to unlocking that dynamic internal change. I am the key, Jesus is saying. Abide in me. Jesus says, I am the true vine. He is saying that He is the key to that completely transformed life, that ongoing transformation, not just periodically, not just seasonally, but ongoing. In Christ, you have, as a follower of Jesus, you have an enormous potential for personal growth and transformation. Going back into those habits, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to live there. In Jesus, in the vine, being connected to the vine, this is how selfish people become unselfish. How a cowardly person becomes courageous. How a worrier becomes a rock. How a whiner becomes a giver. How an angry person becomes filled with joy. And Jesus says, I am the vine, and you need to have a vital connection with me in order to attain that level of ongoing growth and change. Jesus is saying, draw into me, draw from me. I am the source. I am the vine. I am the stable rock that you need to connect into to live a life of joy ongoing. And you need to remain connected. You need to abide there. You need to live there and draw from that source, or it will not bear fruit. This transformation, this growth is completely possible. Often we think that kind of transformation in my life isn't even possible. It's not even real. But when we are connected to the vine, there is the real potential, because we are connected to the source. Jesus, you are enough. We don't need anything else outside of Jesus. He is enough. We become completely Jesus-focused, Jesus-centered. And we draw from that life. And all of the things around us, all of the things that draw us in, that actually suck life out of us, rather than giving us that life source, rather than giving us that joy, they fade away. John 15, and the reason So this change is possible, but the reason this change is possible, that it's not up to us. This change isn't something that you do because you just hunker down and you grit your teeth and you just like, yeah, I'm going to get through this one way or the other. I am going to do this. But listen to John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me. Jesus says, I chose you. I pursued you for relationship. It's nothing you did, nothing you can do. Then he says, and I appointed that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. You see, it's possible to live that transformed life consistently. It's possible to attain to that. Why? Only because God chose you. He appointed you. He appointed the way. He drew you into that relationship. And now he, when you are connected to him, he gives you everything you need to bear fruit in life, to transform your character, to change who you are to that loving, caring person. All the fruits of the Spirit, we can attain that. Patience. Oh, I struggle with patience. Anger. That's kind of shameful to admit. But as long as I'm remaining in and drawing from him as the source, abiding in, that change is possible. Jesus initiated that change. It is possible. He chose each one of you to be the ambassador of the gospel to the world. So the question is, how are you doing? That's a very important question. How are you doing? Jesus appointed you to bear fruit, to be the ambassador of the good news, to spread, share somehow. You're saying, I'm not a speaker. I don't speak. How are you living your life in your job and your workplace? How are you showing Jesus in life, in the real life situation, and how you're parenting and how you're discipling your children and how you're loving your coworkers, how you're loving your neighbor and working in light of those things? Your bearing fruit doesn't rely on you. It relies wholly on what you are connected to in the source of your growth. It all comes down to what Jesus did. Of the Father's plans, his humble incarnation in the flesh, his death on the cross, his resurrection, everything that he's done was to break into your life for one purpose, so that through him, you would be forever changed, eternally changed and transformed into the person that God desires you to be, and that is a fruit bearer. Fruit happens when you are connected to the vine, Jesus. Jesus was committed to coming to be the source of your life. For you to have the same glory and beauty as Jesus has. Isn't that a powerful statement that you and I bear that same beauty, that same glory? When you connect to the vine, abide, remain in, you will bear that same kind of fruit that Jesus did. When people saw him, they loved him, and they, because of what he did, he was compassionate, loving, caring, kind. Oh, sure, they rejected his gospel message, unfortunately, but that was their choice to make. But Jesus desires a dynamic internal change, as opposed to behavioral modification through external forces, which is superficial compliance. You see, what happens when we don't have that staying power, when those fruits of they don't last, it's because we're relying on some superficial changes that are happening, behavior modification, not in an dynamic internal change that's happened. Because one of the mistakes we make is that some believe these changes to be merely compliance, superficial compliance to an external force and not a dynamic internal transformation. And I want to use this as an example to explain what I'm talking about, the difference between this internal dynamic transformation that Jesus offers and just a superficial compliance. And this isn't, I'm not speaking of anybody personally or specifically, but I'm just using a generic marriage example to help make this point. And from time to time, a pastor will get a call from a husband or a wife. And in this case, and I'm not picking on anybody, but in this case, For our example today, we'll use the wife. And so she calls the pastor and she says, hey, my husband says he's about to leave me, and I don't know what to do. I don't want him to leave. This isn't what I wanted. But he said he's willing to come and talk with you, to get some counsel. And so they meet with the pastor, and the pastor asks, well, what's the matter? And the husband, he airs all his grievances, and he tells his wife and the counselor, he's saying, you're too domineering. We don't make any decisions together. You simply just order me around. You tell me what to do. We don't make any of the decisions together. You're not emotionally vulnerable. You don't connect with me all the time. And the list can go on and on. And so the wife looks to the husband and she responds, yeah, I know you've mentioned those things before, but I didn't realize it was to the point that you were going to leave me over them. I didn't think they were that bad. So she says, in this situation, well, of course I'm going to change. I don't want you to leave. And they go home, and for a while she changes. But when things settle down and there's no more talk about leaving, things go back to the way they were. The external fear of the husband leaving is gone. This is superficial compliance to that external force. There wasn't an internal change of heart that happened in this wife's heart. The threat of leaving was gone, and so she went back to the way she was. External forces can restrain your heart, make your heart comply without the heart being changed at all. And so we can muster through, and we can try and be kind, and we can try and be patient, and we can do all those things. But when the rubber meets the road, so to speak, when the hard happens and things start falling apart, and the patience, where's the patience? Well, because it's not an internal transformation, it's just behavioral change, just behavior modification, we resort back to the people that we were. There's two external forces at play, pride and fear. Fear of losing what you have. Fear of change. His wife was afraid of living alone. Maybe even the pride side of that is, what will it look like? She may be afraid because she doesn't know what it would look like to live without him. Fear can get us to toe the line, to do the things, to check the boxes. And then the other side of that is pride. Pride of seeing her marriage fall. Pride of not looking like the perfect wife, not looking like the perfect mom, in all these things. And so those two reasons can lead us to change, but they are the external forces merely modifying your behavior. And perhaps this misunderstanding comes from a place when we put more emphasis on verses 10 through 17, focusing on duty. We pick out these verses, if you obey my commandments. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. See, there's the doing. This is my commandment. If you keep my commandments, you are my friends if you do what I command you. This I command you, that you love one another. If you want to be a good Christian, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, there's all of these things you need to be doing, but it doesn't come from just checking the boxes. It doesn't come from just being disciplined and a sense of duty. We have a tendency to miss these verses in conjunction with this. John 15, 13 to 14, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for my friends. You are my friends, he says, Jesus says, you are my friends. See, this dynamic, internal change comes from relationship, not what we have done. To miss the connection of relationship, stay connected to the vine. Jesus is after internal change, transformation, not superficial compliance. In our scripture passage in these verses today, we see two kinds of branches. The one branch represents superficial compliance. The other branch represents internal transformation. And to the naked eye, to just looking from the outside, they can often look alike. However, some are fruitful and some are not. But why are there some that are fruitful and some that are not. Because even though they look alike, they're not connected to the source. They're not connected to the vine. There's no internal connection. It's just behavior modification. There isn't a dynamic change. There is no life going from the vine to the branch. It's been cut off for whatever reason. And this is talking about believers, and I don't believe that you can lose your salvation. I don't believe that you can be cut off from Jesus. But it does change your fellowship in relationship with Jesus. Your fellowship is definitely disconnected. Look at verse 2 to see Jesus' response. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. NIV says he cuts off that relationship. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that that it may bear more fruit. Oh, that's a challenging verse. That's a really challenging verse. Externally, lots of people say and do things that look like they are followers of Jesus, look like they're connected to the vine. They go to church, they sing, they check all the boxes, to-do boxes. Basically, they're a good person. You ever heard people say that? Well, basically, I'm a good person. Yeah, probably. But just because you're a good person does not equate to being a follower of Jesus. What they are missing is the vital internal connection to the vine. You get saved, you serve, you work, you grow, but somewhere along the way, you begin to abide less and less. And as often as you work more and more, or feel you have reached, maybe we've reached the plateau. Maybe you get children come into your life, and that changes the dynamic substantially, right? But as parents, we have to remain in the vine. That looks different, though, for a young mom who has young kids at home than it does for somebody who's working and their kids are all grown up. But sometimes we feel that we have reached that spiritual plateau. I am the spiritual one. We get this air of pride that comes into our life. We're not connecting to the vine. And then slowly and perhaps unknowingly, you let sin creep in. Old habits reappear. New habits start to take root. And you don't realize that abiding in the vine is the only way to continue, let alone thrive in the Christian life, to thrive as a follower of Jesus. And before you know it, you're no longer being fed by the true vine. You're being fed by everything else in the world. And we're connected to the things that lead us to pride. I should relax more. I should get more, because that's the branch we're connected to. I need more. It's about me, because that's the branch we're being fed from. You're connected to the wrong source. The other branch represents the internal transformation that only Jesus Christ can offer through the indwelling Holy Spirit to genuinely change your being. And then it's about remaining, abide, remain, continue. When you have that connection to the life source, fruit is inevitable. That transformation is inevitable. Jesus repeatedly points back to abiding in, remaining in the vine. He is the true source, the true life source. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Cannot. All of your works done outside when you're not drawing from that vine, they're useless. Pointless. Because they're serving you, others, not God. They cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. You cannot be transformed into a follower of Jesus that Jesus is talking about in the Word unless you abide in, connect to, remain connected to the source. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That's why that these changes aren't possible. These superficial changes aren't possible because we're not being fed by the true vine, the source. The growth, the change comes from abiding in Christ. And C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity sums up what Jesus is after quite nicely. The Christian way is different, harder and easier. Christ says, give me all. I don't want, listen to this, and Betty alluded to this earlier. I love this because we are doers. We want to do. Listen to this. Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. That's what Jesus came to do. Kill your natural self. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it or stop it, but to have it out. Hand over the whole natural self. All the desires which you think innocent as well as the ones you think wicked. The whole outfit, I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you, Jesus says, I will give you myself. My own shall become yours. That's what Jesus wants. That's what he is saying. You see, the question about salvation is, what do you have to give up? Like, we look at that. Well, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to stop smoking. I'm going to have to stop swearing. Maybe you even don't do some of those things. Maybe you have to give up pride. Maybe you have to get working 80 hours a week on a regular basis when your wife is home with a child. Maybe you're a workaholic. Maybe you have to give some of that up. But that's not the question. You don't ask, will you have to give up money? This is going to hurt. Will you have to give up your money? Will you have to give up sex before marriage? Those aren't the questions to ask. The question to ask is, what does Jesus desire from you? Jesus desires to be your everything, your life. He desires you to give up your life. He desires that you bear fruit. When you connect with the vine, the source of life, you have no idea the changes you are going to have to make. You have no idea. Jesus, I just give it up. I want to be connected to you only. So whatever that means, Jesus, I still want you. You are enough. We sang that song earlier. You sang that song. What is he enough? You see, Jesus, the growth Jesus is talking about comes from cutting and pruning to reach your full potential. The knife comes onto each and every branch and to every person. He's talking about the pruning. There's good things in your life, and I know zero about gardening, but I know this, that people do crazy things when it comes to a certain point of the season, and then they take a perfectly good tree and they cut everything off, and there's some good things on there that they're cutting off. They're removing them. Why? Because they know that this is the process to getting better fruit. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this, as he's going through this scripture. And so he takes the gardener, Jesus, takes the knife to absolutely every branch. And he's saying that if you are connected to me, even when you are connected to me, the hard things that come into your life will make you beautiful. That's what he's saying. Yeah, they're hard. Like we often think, well, because I'm a follower of Jesus, because I'm doing this and this, he says, we tend to think that we should not go through those things because we've changed. We've transformed in some of these areas, and we have. But he takes and he cuts those branches off because he desires to bear more fruit. I mean, how does it make sense? How does it make sense, though, when you have an opportunity, you miss an opportunity, a job opportunity, or you miss an opportunity to buy what we think is the perfect house or get that amazing deal on that car? I miss the amazing deal on cars every time. I pay full retail price for everything and above. Why, Jesus? We may miss out on the perfect dream job when things are... you've always wanted to get removed. You know, you have everything that you think, oh, this, I got the good life. They get removed. All these things that happen to you, the troubles, the difficulties, that to the human eye all look pointless and waste, The divine gardener, he comes and he cuts away the things that will not be a loss, but a gain towards your spiritual growth and beauty. You see that? He takes away everything that will not be a loss to your spiritual growth and your divine beauty. Sorry, and just your beauty. You're not divine. The person who is connected to the true vine, when the knife comes onto the branch, these are the same trials that happen to everyone. And when these trials come to the follower of Jesus, what happens when you start transforming, when there's that internal change, is that they won't make you hard, they will make you soft, they won't make you jaded, they will make you compassionate, they won't make you mean and unkind, they will make you gracious and loving, they won't make you bitter, they will make you beautiful. The opposite will be true if you are not connected to the vine. You will become more and more hard. Jesus wants you to be connected to the vine. If you are not Christ-centered, drawing on the, if you're not drawing on the true vine, you're drawing on something else. You're other-centered. Maybe you're centered, your spouse-centered. Maybe you're child-centered. We look for what only Jesus can give us in other things, in other people, in careers, education, family, friends, sports, social media. What or who is the center of your schedule? Is your vine, your center, your source? These in and of themselves, they're not even bad centers. Oh, sorry, they're not even bad things. They're just bad centers. We're drawing from the wrong things that will not give us eternal satisfaction. They will not give us long-lasting transformation. Remaining in Jesus, abiding in Jesus as a follower of Jesus, is not simply believing in him, though that is absolutely crucial, but it includes being in union, in relationship with him, sharing your thoughts, emotions, intentions, and power in a relation, in this relationship. Because it's in this relationship that both parties must be engaged. It's a two-way relationship. The divine must take the initiative and provide the means. Jesus did that. He says, I chose you. You did not choose you. He supplied everything that we need to be in relationship with God himself. The divine must take the initiative and provide the means and the ability of that union to take place, but it cannot happen without the response of the disciple. We have to respond. We have to be continually connected, remain growing. And here's the reason why. Here's the reason why in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Jesus, this abiding is incredible. Jesus says, I've spoken these things so that my joy may be in you. My fruit may be in you and your joy may be made full. What I want you to do here and now and throughout this week is ask yourself, what is the source that you're drawing on for your life? What is the center? What is the thing that drives you? What is the thing that you get up in the morning and you think about and focus on? Is that thing, then is that source producing eternal fruit? It reveals what you are abiding in. If you want your character to change, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, you must be connected to the true. You must become a Christ-centered person. So this week, along with that, you need to have to recenter, change the source that you are being fed with. And that's where, and again, this is directing you to do those things, because out of those things is when we desire to serve God wherever he calls us, even if we're not gifted necessarily. And sometimes, even if we don't get that phone call necessarily, get that call from Jesus, sometimes We have to act in obedience and say, there's a need. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm connected to that vine, and I need to be obedient to that vine, so I will serve because there's a need. It may be changing our whole value system, our whole central system. And this isn't just to, I don't think young moms should have to teach. Older women, Timothy, older women, teach younger women. Older men, teach younger men. We don't age out. We have an incredible gentleman in our midst, and we want to honor him in the next little while, who has served, I think he's 90, in his 90s, 92-ish, maybe more. Peter Gunther has served faithfully for over 40 years. I don't know the numbers exactly. He has taught an adult connect class. And yeah, now there's some health issues, and it wasn't by his own design that he wanted, but he served faithfully. And often we think, I'm retired, done, checked out, my kids are old. Younger kids, your job, get at it. We look at things wrong. We're looking at the wrong thing. Jesus, look to Jesus. Jesus, what am I supposed to, Jesus, out of this relationship, what is the fruit that I should be bearing? Where am I going with this? Some of this change is going to be hard, and some of it, but don't be disappointed when you try and fail, or when it feels like you're failing, because I don't believe when we try and we're serving God that it's a failure, but sometimes it's about doing that 1% more than we are already doing. Now, remember this, we have over 100 people that are serving in various ministries, and so we are thankful and give glory to God, but I hope even in those 100 people that are serving, that they are being fed by the source of Jesus, to have the passion to teach and share the gospel with them. So consider those things this week. Let's pray. It's a hard thing to say as a pastor. I just feel it's my responsibility. I do. Let's pray. Jesus, I desire that you transform my life so completely. Father, if there's areas where I have not, God, I want you to be my only source. Forgive me, Father, where I have drawn on other things. God, I repent before you, and I desire that you transform my life. I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to be a phony. God, I want to be a follower of Jesus, who loves Jesus, and whose love of Jesus overflows to others. God, thank you that you have spoken from your word. Pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name.